Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. God is speaking to Moses and he tells him, he says, "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household." Everybody say, a lamb for a household.
A lamb for a household.
We're going to look at the significance of that statement, a lamb for a household, what that means and what that significant, how that's significant for us today. But before we get there, I want to talk a little bit more about what we were talking about last week, what the blood of Jesus has accomplished for us. And I want to add this, what the blood of Jesus accomplishes for us when we apply it in faith.
Amen.
What the blood of Jesus accomplished, now what Jesus did when he shed his blood when he applied his blood, that means that all this stuff is done, but it only becomes a reality in each of our lives when we understand it and when we apply it in faith. The blood has to be applied.
Amen?
Amen? So we talked about five things last week, and number one was this: the blood silences the accusations of Satan against us. The blood of Jesus silences the accusations of Satan against us. And I won't take time to look at the scriptures. You can go back and I don't know if we have copies. I think we have some copies of last week's message still available. It is on our podcast page. You can go back and listen to it there. I'd encourage you to hear last week's and the week before in this series. But the blood silences the accusations of Satan against us.
Yeah.
Number two, the blood of Jesus has secured our redemption forever.
Yeah.
That means there's nothing else that God has to do. There's nothing lacking. That means that there's nothing that can come up or happen in your life where God says, "Oops, I'm sorry, I don't know what we're going to do about that." Provision in every area of our life has been made because the blood of Jesus has secured our eternal redemption forever.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Number three, the blood of Jesus cleanses our consciences.
Yes.
The Bible says that the blood has cleansed our consciences. It says the blood of bulls and goats could only cover over. He said, how much more? In Hebrews 9, how much more shall the blood of Christ cleanse your conscience from dead works, that you may serve the living God? Or in the Message Bible, it says, so that we can live all out for God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, if you're still living under condemnation, if you're still living under guilt, you can't really live all out for God. You can't really boldly lay hands on the sick and expect them to recover, because there's going to be that little voice saying, yeah, but you know, you're not really worthy. Yeah, but you know, you're not as qualified as so-and-so is to do this. No, the blood has cleansed our consciences so we can live all out for God.
Amen?
Amen. Hallelujah. Then number four, the blood guarantees that the promises of God can have full effect in our lives. Again, the voice would come up in your mind and in your heart, the voice of doubt, and would say, yeah, well, God has promised that. Yes, that promise is available, but it won't work for you. It's not available to... No, the blood guarantees it'll work for you. The blood of Jesus guarantees that promise is sure for you. Hallelujah. And then number five, the blood of Jesus sets us apart for God's service. See, in the New Covenant, the Bible says back in the Old Covenant, in Hebrews, it's talking about, going back into the Old Covenant, talking about how Moses sprinkled with blood, it says, the book and the people and all the vessels of the ministry, it says. He sprinkled with blood. Well, he's talking about the pots and pans and the altar and all of that stuff. He sprinkled those vessels with blood. But in the New Covenant, we are the vessels of ministry. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell us, and we are those vessels, and we are set apart to God by the blood of Jesus. You're a vessel that God can use, and you're sanctified, you're set apart to God by the blood of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So let's go into some new territory here, and then we'll eventually get to Exodus 12 and talk about a lamb for a household, but I want to talk a little bit more about what the blood accomplishes for us when we apply it in faith. Hebrews 10, verse 1, this is how the New Living Translation, it says, the old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. He's talking again about the Old Testament sacrifices, and the reason he's bringing this up is because these Hebrew Christians, these were people that were Jewish, they'd gotten saved, but now they were facing tremendous pressure to recant and to go back under Judaism. Their families had cut them off. They'd lost their inheritances, some of them. They'd been divorced, basically, counted as dead by their family members. And so you can imagine the cultural pressure that they had to say, you know, this is, I don't know if this is worth it or not. And Paul is telling them, look, you can't go back under that system. Here's what it had, and here's what you have now. What you have now is so much greater. It's so much more wonderful. He was getting them, they were focusing on the wrong things. They were focusing on what, in the natural, the things that they didn't have or couldn't do. But Paul says, look, I want to open your eyes to what you do have.
Amen.
And to what God has done for you.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
And he says, it says, verse 2 says, if they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped. For the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. He's saying under the law, under the old covenant, under the sacrifices, that the people's feelings of guilt can't ever disappear. But now, again, follow me. Look, he's contrasting this with what the blood of Jesus has done. So what the law couldn't do, the blood of Jesus did. So through the blood of Jesus, our feelings of guilt can disappear. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. In verse 2 in the New King James, we won't put it on the screen, but I just want to quote this phrase where he says, the worshipers would have been purified once for all. In the New King James, it says, and they would have no more consciousness of sins. They would have no more consciousness of sin. That's how God wants us to live. And we can live that way because of the blood of Jesus. It's not a denial. It's not saying, oh, well, sin's not a big deal. Sin is a big deal, but through the cleansing blood of Jesus, we can live with no more consciousness of sins. Hallelujah. So we're to live not with a sin consciousness, but with a righteousness consciousness. Hallelujah. I love Brother E.W. Kenyon brought that revelation back to the church that we're to live with a righteousness consciousness. Hallelujah. Not with a, he said, most of the church lives under a sin consciousness. I'm just an unworthy sinner, and that's where we get the bumper stickers. Of course, that might be the one that I would put on my car if I put one on there. Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. Just to kind of cover the way that I tend to want to drive sometimes. Don't even think about putting that one on the roll. I know how you drive. All right. What are you laughing at, Barbara? She knows. All right. All right. Hallelujah. Moving on. We're to live under a righteousness consciousness. Amen? Knowing that we're righteous. Conscious of our righteousness. Conscious of our standing. That's where we can have boldness in prayer. The prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. We can pray that prayer if we know and we're conscious of the fact that we're righteous. Amen? All those promises in the Scripture, in the Psalms and Proverbs that talk about the righteous person has this, or God will do this for the righteous. A lot of times we think, oh, well, that's great for that person. No, that's talking about you. That's talking about the person that has received the blood of Jesus Christ and has applied it to their life by faith. Amen? So number 6, the blood of Jesus gives us a righteousness consciousness. Hallelujah. And the Message Bible in that passage where it says their feelings of guilt would have disappeared or they would have no more consciousness of sin, in the Message it says the worshipers would have gone merrily on their way, no longer dragged down by their sins. Think about that. The worshipers would have gone merrily on their way, no longer dragged down by their sins. That's how God wants you to live. That's how God wants you, as you apply the blood of Jesus over your life. He wants you to let that blood cleanse you, cleanse your conscience, release you from guilt and condemnation, where you go merrily along your way, no longer dragged down by your sins. Praise God. That's how God wants us to live. Amen? Now let's move on to verse 5, back in the New Living again. That is why, when Christ came into the world, He said to God, "You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but You have given Me a body to offer." You've given Me a body to offer. The body and the blood of Jesus was offered. Hallelujah. And it did the job. It did what the blood of bulls and goats, what the Old Testament sacrifices could only provide a dim shadow. But this is the real thing.
Amen.
The real thing has happened.
Amen.
The real thing has come and has happened. The good things that have come, as Paul described. Hallelujah. Verse 10 in the New Living says this, "For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time."
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's keep rolling through Hebrews 10 here. Let's go down to verse 19. Look at this. "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can, because of all this, because of the blood, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place." Why? Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. Because we've done everything just right, just perfect? No. Because of the blood of Jesus, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place. Think about this. In the Old Testament, only the high priest could go into that place. And it wasn't even the real one. It just was a copy. The priest could go into that holy place, the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, inside the temple, and he could only go in once a year, and he only went in with the blood of the sacrifice in order to cover over the sins of the people one more year. And you know what? They used to tie a rope around his leg, and he had bells on the bottom of his clothing. And so he's in there and he's doing his job in fear and trembling.
Right.
And if all of a sudden they weren't hearing the bells tingling anymore, they tugged on the rope. Uh-oh. Eliezer messed up somehow. And then pull him in. But now we can come, we can bold, not fearfully, not tepidly, not timidly. But we can, think about this, we can boldly enter heaven's most, not the copy, not the picture, not the type, but the real one. We can, and he's not talking about when you die and go to heaven. He's talking about now. He's talking about right now. We can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. Thank God for that blood. But you know what? Too many Christians don't even take advantage of that. We live our lives day by day and we don't take the opportunity to come boldly into the most holy place. In Hebrews 4, he also talks about this. He talks about that we can come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Amen. Let's take advantage of that. Let's take advantage of it. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. We can come boldly by the blood of Jesus. Verse 20, "By His death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way." I like that. A new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have, and the Bible says that curtain, that veil is His flesh. Hallelujah. And since we have a great high priest, that's Jesus, who rules over God's house. Verse 22, let us go right into the presence of God. Let us go right into the presence of God. Hallelujah. With sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. Our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. Our bodies have been washed with pure water. He's not talking about that shower you took this morning. He's talking about the water of baptism. He's talking about the washing of water through the Word. Hallelujah. Amen. So number seven, the blood of Jesus gives us free access to the most holy place, the presence of God. The blood of Jesus gives us free access to the most holy place, the presence of God. And then I think it's interesting what he says next. In verse 23, he says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. The New King James says, let's hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. So he talks about our confession now. You know what makes your confession effective and powerful? What makes it work? The blood. The fact that the blood has been applied. Hallelujah. For God can be trusted to keep His promise. Amen? Amen. Verse 24 says, and let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And then verse 25, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. Amen. All of that is tied in with the fact that we can come boldly in the presence of God by the blood. Amen. Amen. And then, just a few verses later in the chapter, we're going to go to verse 29. He strikes a very serious tone here. And all of it above is serious, but a somber tone. And look at what he says right here. He says, of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot? Now again, remember the context here. Is they were tempted to go back under Judaism, to go and to do that they would have to say that the blood of Jesus didn't do anything for them. If they go back under Judaism, they're saying Jesus was not the Messiah, He was not the Son of God, He didn't die for their sins, and they would go back under those Old Testament laws and practices and sacrifices. There was a temptation to pull culturally for them to do that. But he said, no, look, he said, you got to know something. I'm going to be straight with you. He said, if you do this, you're trampling the Son of God underfoot. And notice this now. And has counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing. And by so doing, he said, and insulted the Spirit of grace. They'd be going back under the law, saying, if I keep these laws, if I do these laws, then I'll be acceptable to God. Then I can win God's favor. He said, you're insulting the Spirit of grace if you do that. But he says in the middle there, he says, you're counting the blood of the covenant by which you're sanctified a common thing. That's what I want to point out. This blood that has sanctified us, this blood that has silenced the accusations of Satan, this blood that has obtained an eternal redemption for us, this blood that allows us, that cleanses our consciences so that we can go right into the presence of God, this blood is not a common thing. It's not a common thing. It is a holy thing. It is the most powerful, the most effective cleansing agent in all the universe. It is the most valuable substance in all the universe, the blood of Jesus. That's why Paul instructed the Corinthians in their partaking of communion. He said, do it. Don't do it in an unworthy manner. Don't do it in a careless manner. But realize what you hold in your hands when you partake of communion.
Amen.
That you're partaking of a symbol of the blood of Jesus Christ that has the power to free you, to deliver you to make you whole and holy in every way.
Yes, it does.
Hallelujah. It's not a common thing.
No.
It's not a common thing. That's why we sing songs about the blood.
Amen.
That's why we hold up the blood
Amen.
Of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why we declare there's no other way for salvation except through the blood
Amen.
Of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God. Thank God. Let's go on to 1 John. I want to catch something here. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. This is out of the Amplified Bible. It says, but if we really are living and walking in the light, and how do we do that? By walking in the Word. By walking in the Word, because His Word is the light. The entrance of His words give light. Your Word, O Lord, is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Amen? If we really are living and walking in the light, walking in the Word, as He Himself is in the light, we have true unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses, removes us from all sin and guilt. And then it does this. Now, I like the way what the Amplified adds here. Keeps us cleansed from sin in all its forms and manifestations. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, and it keeps us cleansed from sin in all its forms and manifestations. So point number 8, the blood of Jesus provides a continual and preventative cleansing from sin. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, and if we'll learn to apply it, it will keep us cleansed from sin in all its forms and manifestations. I'm going to show you how to do that in a moment here. Let's go back to Exodus again now. Exodus 12. Let's talk about this. A lamb for a household. Exodus 12, verse 3. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb. Notice that first part. Every man shall take for himself a lamb. I can't take a lamb for you. You can't take a lamb for me. Every person shall take for themselves a lamb. And we know He's instituting the Passover here. And as we've talked about in the previous sessions, that's why you need to go back and catch up and hear those if you haven't heard them. Because we pointed out, we made it abundantly clear from the Scriptures. In fact, Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians 5, 7. He says, for Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. So when they were celebrating the Passover, it was a preview. It was a foreshadowing of what Jesus would do. When they were to take for themselves, every man for himself, a lamb, that tells us that we are to take Jesus and His sacrifice into our life, and we have to do that personally. We understand that. I know you know that. I know we understand that. You can't get saved for somebody else. Somebody else can't get saved for you. We have to receive Jesus personally, right?
Amen.
And we have to take the blood personally
Amen.
In our lives. But then he says this. He says, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. A lamb for a household. So really, yeah, everybody was taking a lamb for himself, but really, you could take one lamb and it would be effective for that whole household.
Amen.
All right? So what I want to explain what that does mean and what it doesn't mean. Verse 21 in Exodus 12, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. In other words, apply the blood. The blood of Jesus has been shed for us. The blood of Jesus has accomplished all these things that we just listed and enumerated, but it won't do you any good unless you apply it.
Amen.
You have to apply the blood. I have to apply the blood over my life. So he says, take that blood and dip it in the basin, or take the hyssop, dip it in the blood that's in the basin, strike the lintel, the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning, For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood, when he sees the blood, does he see the blood over your life? When he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over, hence the name Passover.
Amen.
The Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you.
Amen.
Now, if you think about it, one person in the family likely did the action of applying the blood over the doorpost and the lintel of the home. I mean, think about how the logistics of how they did this. I'm imagining the husband, the father of the head of the household. He was the one that would take and kill that lamb, drain the blood into that basin, take the hyssop branch, and he would apply the blood for his household.
Amen.
All right, one person had to do that action of applying the blood. And as a result, every family member that came inside the house was divinely protected that
Amen.
Night.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
That one act by that whoever in that household of applying the blood brought deliverance and protection for the whole household. That's what I'm saying. Now, as we said earlier, every man shall take a lamb for himself. Every individual must choose the Lord for themselves. But the other side of that is this. We can be the one in our household to apply the blood for our household. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now again, you know, naturally, as we said, it would be ideal, and you imagine it to be the husband, father, and that's ideal. You know, the Philippian jailer, when he got saved in Acts chapter 16, Paul told the Philippians, he said, after the earthquake hit and everybody's chains fell off and the doors were open, he said, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and your household. And he took him to his house and fed him a meal and they all got saved. And the Bible says he rejoiced believing in God with all his household.
Amen.
The statistics are extremely high of the whole family being saved, of all the children being
Amen.
Saved and serving God when the husband and the father takes his role as the head of the household and the spiritual head of the home. The statistics are way high that the rest of the family is going to follow him in and be saved.
Amen.
But we know that's the ideal, but we know that that's not always the case. So is there any hope for the rest of folks that don't have that situation? Well, you can be the one in your household to apply the blood. Now, it's ideal if a husband and wife will join together, if they'll apply the blood together over their family and over their household. But whatever your situation, you stand up and you be the one to apply the blood over your household. Amen?
Yes.
Let's look at another account in the Old Testament, and this is the story of Rahab. Remember the story of Rahab? The Israelites were coming into the Promised Land. You know, they'd come out of Egypt. They wandered in the wilderness 40 years. Finally, it's time to go into the Promised Land. The first city that God tells them to take is the city of Jericho. Remember that?
Yes.
That's where this lady named Rahab lived. Rahab was a prostitute. She lived in the city of Jericho. The children of Israel are coming in. God's parted the Red Sea for them. They crossed the Red Sea coming out of Egypt. Then 40 years later, he parts the Jordan River, and they're on the doorstep of Jericho. And Joshua sent two spies into Jericho. Moses sent 12 spies. Joshua said, okay, all you 10 unbelieving ones, you're not going to go this time. Of course, they'd all died out anyway. He said, we're only going to send two. And he made sure... He gave them a litmus test, and he made sure they were in faith. And so they went in to spy out Jericho, and they get spotted, and so they get pursued, and so they find themselves, they're trying to get out before they get caught, and they find themselves at Rahab's home, and she hides them so that they don't get discovered, all right? And she actually tells them, hey, what took you guys so long? We've been expecting you for 40 years. Joshua chapter 2, verse 9 says, I know, this is Rahab talking to them. She said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. We're sitting here quaking in our boots because of you guys. Next verse. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. That was 40 years ago. For you, when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed, that was some time back as well. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted, neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. This is Rahab declaring this about God. She had more faith in God than the Israelites did. And here's another thing that we need to understand that is illustrated here. Do you know the devil is afraid of you?
Amen.
He is so afraid that you're going to discover who you are in Christ. He is so afraid of you that you're going to stand up in the authority of the name of Jesus and begin to use it. He is terrified of you.
Amen.
Amen. The enemies of Israel, the inhabitants there that were keeping them out of the promised land, they were terrified. 40 years before when those spies went in, they said, oh, we can't go in. There's giants in there. They were all terrified of the Israelites. The devil's afraid of you.
Amen.
But Rahab, she knew. She said, yeah, we've been expecting you. And so she says in verse 12, now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord. Glory to God. She was going to be bold, and she was going to say, you know, this may be the fate of this city to be destroyed. She said, but I'm going to ask for something here. I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I've shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. All right. Verse 13. And spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sister, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. What is she doing? She's taking a lamb for her household. She's saying, spare me, but then she extends her faith. And she says, my mama and my daddy and my brothers and my sister, and by the way, all that they have, all their stuff too. Do you know that God can protect your stuff? Don't just depend on Allstate can't protect your... Give me a break. Insurance, when you buy... Let me explain something to you. When you buy insurance, it doesn't mean that your stuff's going to be protected. It just means that somebody else is going to pay for it if and when something happens to it. Right? Oh, I got an insurance now. Nothing's going to happen to my car. No, that's not... If you want nothing to happen to your car then you and your house and your lives, then do this. I'm not saying don't have insurance. Have insurance. Get insured. All right? But get this first. Do this.
Amen.
All right. So she said... So she reached out her faith and she says, my family and all that they have. She's applying the blood for her whole household. Hallelujah. Verse 17, she says, give me a true token. And so the men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you've made, a swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you've let us down, and unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household into your own home. This scarlet cord that they gave her to hang in the window was a symbol of the blood. Just like this cup is a symbol of the blood. They said, if you'll apply the blood, if you'll apply the scarlet, just like the blood of the Passover lamb when it was applied. In her case, it was a scarlet cord hanging in the window. God saw it the very same way. The very same way. Verse 15, we'll go back to 15. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. Wait, what? She dwelt on the city wall. Her house was on the wall. Does anybody remember what God's strategy was for them to take Jericho? Remember that? God says, I want you to march around. I want you to march around the city, you know, one day for 6 days, and the seventh day march around the city seventh time. And when you shout, then the priests are going to blow the trumpets, and the wall's going to fall down. And it did. And her house was on the wall. In other words, Rahab lived in the most dangerous place on planet Earth at the time. You talk about living on the San Andreas Fault. She lived on the wall of Jericho. That wall was marked for destruction. But she had something that she applied that protected her and her household. So the Israelites march around the walls. The walls fall down. They come rushing in. The walls fall down except for one spot on the wall that didn't fall. I would love to see, I hope the Lord shows us a movie of that when we get to heaven, because I would love to see that. I tried to find it. I remember when the horrible, horrible tornado hit Joplin back in 2011, I tried to find a picture. I was going to put it on the screen to kind of give you the, help illustrate what we're talking about here. But I know there was a woman who prayed and believed God, and everything was flattened for several square miles all around her, and there her house was standing right in the middle of it. Praise God. And she was in it, and she was spared. I'm not saying you shouldn't, again, don't misunderstand me, I'm not saying you should stay if there's a tornado or a hurricane coming. I'm not telling you to do that. She didn't have any other place she could go. So she had to depend on God to deliver her. God may tell you to get out of there. That may be one way He delivers you. All right, so just be listen to Him. Amen. All right. So chapter 6, they come in. Verse 22, but Joshua had said to the two men who had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her. And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had.
Hallelujah.
So they brought out all her. Everybody else died. Everybody else in Jericho died. And everything else was destroyed. Everything else was destroyed. But not her.
Yeah.
And not her family.
Amen.
And not her stuff.
Amen.
Because she had the faith. She had the faith and the wisdom from God to say, look, I'm going to ask for protection here and deliverance here. Hallelujah. They brought her out outside the camp of Israel, but they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasure of the house of the Lord. Everything else wiped out. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. It keeps talking about mentioning all that she had.
Yeah.
God wants to protect your stuff, I'm telling you.
Amen.
Amen. So she dwells in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And you know she's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 in the Faith Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And you know she got in on the genealogy of Jesus as well.
Yes.
Did you know that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. She's Boaz's. Is she Boaz's mother or grandmother? I think Boaz's mother. I think. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because she had faith. She applied the blood. Her entire household was protected and was spared. You can be that one in your household. Reed, come on back up if you will. You can be that one for your household.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You can apply the blood in faith over your household. And it'll work. It will work. But you have to do it. You can be the one to take the lamb for your household and apply the blood over their lives. Amen. I want to show you how I do it. And I've been doing this for years. Every day, I say, Father. And I don't always take communion when I do it because we apply the blood by faith and with our words.
Right.
You can do it when you take communion. Two ways we apply the blood. We apply it as we partake of communion. And then secondly, we do it by our words. They overcame him, Revelation 12. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Our hyssop branch is our tongue. With our tongue, we apply the blood. Hallelujah. So this is how I do it. I say, Father, I thank you right now for the blood of Jesus Christ, and I plead the blood of Jesus over my family today. I plead the blood over our lives, over our property, over our possessions, and over our pets. I include that as well. And then I go on and I say, Father, I thank you that the blood of Jesus is divinely protects us. I thank you, Father, that you see the blood. I say, I apply the blood of Jesus today by faith and with my words. And I thank you, Father, that you see the blood and you pass over us today and you'll not allow the destroyer to touch us. And then I begin to name every member of my family, my family members, my children, my grandchildren. I say, Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over them. I name every one of them. I go down and I name every one of them. And then I say this. I say, Father, I thank you that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin today. And the blood keeps us cleansed from sin in all its forms and manifestations. I thank you for that cleansing work of the blood today over every member of my family. And Father, I thank you. Your word also says that Moses sprinkled the blood over all the vessels of ministry to sanctify them. Father, I apply the blood of Jesus over my family. And I say that every member of my family is sanctified and set apart to you by the blood of Jesus. And I say that every member of my family will fulfill their divine purpose and their divine destiny. For they're set apart to you by the blood of Jesus that I apply over them today. Hallelujah. That's how something like that is how you can do it. Let the Lord lead you, but do it every day. Apply the blood. The Bible, we also read in Hebrews 11 in that faith chapter, it says that Noah prepared an ark makes this statement, for the saving of his household. For the saving of his household. Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Doesn't talk about him, the blood there, but it's the same principle. We can apply the blood for the saving of our household. Amen?
Amen.
You can bring your family under that covering of the blood of Jesus. I'm absolutely convinced. I've seen it. I've seen it work. I've seen it happen. I've seen God deliver my children and protect my children in wonderful ways, supernatural ways, because of the blood. Hallelujah. Ushers, go ahead and serve everyone. We're going to partake of communion again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I got one more scripture I want to read to you as they're serving you. And can you listen and get your elements at the same time, right? And then we'll all partake together once everybody's been served. Let's go back to Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 12, in Hebrews 12 it says this, Hebrews 12:22, he says, but you've come to Mount Zion. He's contrasting. He's talking about, in the verses before, he talked about how when the Israelites came up to Mount Sinai and God came down on the mountain and the top of the mountain was on fire and there was burning and there was smoke and the earth shook and it was very terrifying. And a voice spoke and there was a loud trumpet blast. And the voice that spoke from heaven, it says was so overwhelming that the people begged. So they said, Moses, you go up and let him talk to you. We can't bear this. We can't endure this. He says, you in the new covenant, you've not come to that mountain. You've not come to Mount Sinai. Here's the mountain you've come to. Verse 22. But you've come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. That'd be a good name for a church, wouldn't it? The general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven.com. To God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. To the spirits of just men made perfect. He's not talking about when you get to heaven. Listen. Dying won't make you perfect. Dying won't make you holy. Dying won't make you fit for heaven. Someone else died to make you fit for that. Jesus. Jesus' death makes you fit for heaven. Jesus' death and His shed blood makes you holy. To the spirits of just men made perfect. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. And get this, here's what I want to say, want to get to. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. The blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Do you know that when Cain killed Abel, that God confronted Cain about that? And He said, your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. What was it crying out? Avenge me, O God. Avenge me, O God. Well, the blood of Jesus is crying out. But it's not crying out for vengeance. It speaks better things. Can you hear it? Can you hear it? Can you hear it? Can you hear it saying, conscience is cleansed? Can you hear it saying, you can go right into the most holy place. You can go right into the presence of God. Can you hear it saying, when I see this blood applied, I will pass over you and I'll not allow the destroyer to touch you? Can you hear it saying, if you'll apply it over your household, I'll watch over them too? Can you hear it saying, shut up, devil? That's what the blood says. The blood silences the accusations of the enemy. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, we apply in this act of receiving communion, we apply the blood today. We apply it over our households. We apply it over our family members. Over all that we have. Over our possessions even. Thank you that you see the blood applied over our lives today. Father, we do this not as a ritual, but we do it in faith right now. We do it in faith today in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that you see the blood and you pass over us. We thank you, Lord, that the blood is applied over our lives and over our household And I thank you that we are divinely delivered, protected, preserved, saved. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. In Jesus' name. Let's pray.